The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd and put his finger into the man's ear and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, a quiz. What's that white book there on that table being highlighted this month of September? It's a Bible. Praise the Lord. You guys are good. This is the Word of God month. So I think Pope Francis kind of put it out there to help us to appreciate and to encourage us more and more to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And so the Word of God that we heard in this gospel, for example, let's break it open some. So this is more of a Bible study than a homily. He does all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. That line's referring to our first reading where Isaiah prophesies the coming Messiah, and now we're seeing that Jesus in action is kind of fulfilling some of the prophecies, indicating that he is the Messiah. But boy, isn't that weird when Jesus sticks his finger in a person's ear? Shouldn't do that, should you? Or spits on his finger and touches the other person's tongue. Very graphic healing. Well, sometimes in Scripture you don't get all the answers. I'm not going to give you the answer to that one. Moving on, isn't it ironic that the man can't speak? Jesus heals him and he can speak, and then he says, "Don't tell anyone"? Or, more ironic, that command not to tell anyone falls on deaf ears, and they tell anyone anyway. This particular aspect of the Gospels called the Messianic secret. Throughout Mark's Gospel especially, Jesus is constantly saying, "Don't tell anyone." Why is that? Well, without trying to make it too simple, there's many reasons, but one of them is Jesus wanted them to know the whole story before they talked to others. And they still had much yet to learn. He's not only the Messiah, he was truly God. And he had to die and rise from the dead and share with us the Holy Spirit, everlasting life. And that is part of our salvation, that we need to understand, and his proclaimers need to know the whole story before they proclaim perfectly the message. At the end of the gospel, you know Jesus tells people to go tell, go baptize. So that is one of the reasons for the messianic secret, but it's also addressed in this very miracle. So let's break open some of the miracle, right? The man can't hear and he can't speak well. He has a speech impediment, so he can speak. And Jesus is going to deal with both those issues, and he does it in a particular order. And so I'd like to ask you, let's talk about listening and talking. How many of you out there are talkers? And you liked, oh, I see not only some raised hands raised, I see some finger pointing. Uh-oh. How many of you are listeners? Now I ask you, is it better to listen or to talk? Well, it might depend. But here's a philosophical thought. If I talk and there's nobody to listen, can I still talk? But if I, can there be a listener without a talker? If a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? You see, there needs to be a talker for there to be a listener. And so when I listen, I am in relationship with another person. I can talk and not be in relationship. And so to listen is a great gift to the relationship. It's a great gift to the other person. And to honor our relationships and our persons in conversation, listening is essential. And I don't know about you, is it kind of hard to listen to people sometimes? Doesn't your mind wander? You start making all sorts of judgments, so you think about your own lives. It's hard to listen. And so it truly is an art we can practice, or even a discipline. But by listening, we are able to respond more appropriately and speak without the impediment. And so one of the things this gospel can really help us is in our human relationships. But also, our first and most fundamental relationship is with God. And the same thing would apply to God. It's important to listen to God. And one of the things that I love to teach is listening prayer. And in order to speak plainly words that build up others, that make the world a better place, that encourage others, we can do that from our own hearts and our own wisdom, can't we? But we can do a better job of that. The speech impediment is cured, if you will, our natural inabilities, by God's grace. And ultimately, this miracle is a message to all of us that we're all born a little bit deaf with a speech impediment. And God wants to cure us of that, to open our ears to hear his word so that we may also speak his word in his wisdom. Fundamentally, that happens in baptism. Even one of the rituals in baptism is called the epitha ritual, where the priest or the deacon blesses the ears of the child and says, be opened. So it is, our baptismal graces give us this grace. But over time, we still must open to that grace. And in our prayer life, we learn how to listen. And one of the greatest ways to learn how to listen to God is through Scripture, Word of God Month, especially the Gospels. And I have repeatedly, you probably heard this many times now, try to encourage people to do that regularly, to learn how to listen to God. And in my own life, it's really hard, but it's easy to listen to God. What's never easy, forgive me. You can listen to God in your prayer time, but then it's even harder to listen to God when life is happening in the moment. And you sometimes get so caught up in reacting to situations rather than responding. And so one person this week taught me a valuable lesson, or reminded me anyway. Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 say, when you're in opposition, don't think about what you are to say, but the Holy Spirit will give you what you are to say. So the ability to listen to God, and as we cultivate that even in our private prayer, becomes more and more available to us in real time in our lives. And so, next time you're in the middle of a heated debate or a situation that's difficult, try to remember, say, Holy Spirit, what should I say? Help me to hear you. That's a tremendous, difficult gift, but we can practice and do that. Okay, Holy Spirit, tell me what I'm supposed to say next. But of all those things, remember, this is still Bible study. We're not preaching, so we can do this. This miracle really says something different. Again, I love to teach prayer class, and over the summer we taught a couple of us a teen prayer workshop. And at the last day of one of the classes, I was summarizing it, saying, okay, why are we praying? We're praying to learn God's will, to hear God. We're praying to become more holy so that God can transform our hearts. And I stopped right there. And then someone else, another one of the adults, said, and to help others. Sometimes I forget the most basic. The first thing we learn, intercessory prayer. To lift up for others who can't speak for themselves or need others to speak for them, to pray for them. And that's what's happening in this miracle. This man can't speak. And so his friends bring him to Jesus and say to Jesus, please heal him. That's what we do in our intercessory prayer, right? What a tremendous gift that we can give others, and what an important and tremendous gift and power God has given us. We humans actually have the ability to shape a world by our words and our prayers and to cause things to happen differently. Isn't that incredible? Remember when God created the world? Let there be light, let there be sea, sky, etc. It happened. So too when we pray, God's given us the ability to co-create with him. Now, people ask me more questions and even my mind. Does that mean we really change God's mind when we pray for something? Was God really not going to heal that person, or was God not going to fix that situation? Tough answer. But one of the things that's pretty clear is God wants us to pray for those things. And maybe God wants to work with us. And by working with us, it helps become the very answer to those prayers. As we lift up our prayers for the poor, as we lift up our prayers for a better world, for peace, or for a cleaner environment, we may cry out to God and it may not happen, but as we cry out, others may join into that prayer. And over time, if the whole world, if every household, if every church, if every corporation was praying for those same things, it would make a big difference. And so sometimes, and this is just a theory, I'm not saying it's true, maybe our prayers aren't so much us telling God what to do, but God inspiring us what to work for and what to ask for. And so we have the great gift to be co-creators with God by our prayers of intercession for one another. So let us use that gift. Let us pray that God may open our ears to see and our eyes to see the world as he does, to hear the cries of others, and to speak their needs to him, and together become a better world, to be an answer to our own prayer. God, let us pray right now. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds and our eyes to hear your word, to speak your words of encouragement to others, of building up a better world, and to proclaim all that you've done, what we've seen and heard, to others, so that they too may know your love. Amen.